Opening day is upon us in the A. That's right, Braves country. Get ready for a full week of Braves baseball right there at Truist Park, aside from the Battery. The D-backs, National League champions, coming to town. Braves looking to assert their dominance over the National League, and a win, a series win over the D-backs, would go a long way toward making that statement. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution, this is the Braves Report, presented by Kroger, the podcast that takes you inside the clubhouse and gives you the stories behind the store. I'm Barrett Salee, hanging out in the heart of Braves country, and I have not been this excited about an opening series at home in a very long time. Yes, celebrating the World Series title in 2022 was phenomenal. Hanging that banner, all that stuff was great, and it'll be memorable. But getting the D-backs, the NL champs, in this building is a perfect chance for the Braves to make a statement. Make another statement, because after what we've seen in Philly and Chicago, these Braves are just fine. Ronaldo Lopez in the last game in Chicago, that performance, I think, solidified the Braves as the best team in baseball, bar none. I thought they were anyway, but if you're getting that kind of performance, if the one criticism of the Braves season so far is Max Fried, then I think we're doing all right. If this is your first time listening to us, welcome aboard, and make sure you follow us on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast. And a reminder, save more at the pump during the busy travel season with Kroger. Save on fuel every time you shop when you use your Kroger shopper's card. Earn one fuel point for every dollar you spend. Redeem fuel points and any Kroger fuel center today. All right, so the probables are set. The pitching matchups are set, and let me tell you, it favors the Braves. After Wednesday's game was rained out. Spencer Strider pushed back, 8 strikeouts in the opener. He'll face Tommy Henry, a guy who you probably don't know, nor should you know, because he's a brand new face for the D-backs in that rotation. You get Brandon Pfaadt and Max Fried on Saturday, and that to me is the game that stands out the most, because of the three pitchers we're going to see, Ryan Nelson is actually starting on Sunday, but Brandon Pfaadt has been a guy who started a World Series game. He understands big spots. He is of the group that the D-backs have, you know, aside from Gallen, probably one of those who, you know, they're counting on to take a big step forward this season. And he's facing Fried, who I don't know what we're going to get from Max Fried. All I know is that if he gets actual strike calls on balls down the middle, then generally speaking, he's going to do just fine. I'm not worried about Max Fried. I think things just got really sideways in that first inning in Philadelphia. And sometimes you get that. Sometimes you get crazy, and especially early in the season when you're not necessarily sure what you're going to get from the opposing offense, from nerves, from the weather, all of that stuff. But it's an interesting start for Fried, because it's the biggest, toughest matchup this weekend. And to me, you'll know a lot more about how he handles adversity after what happened last year in terms of limited starts, how he handles adversity, how he handles pressure on the mound. Is he back to his normal self against a really good team? And I think that's the biggest storyline. That's the biggest storyline this weekend. Sunday's matchup, I kind of am interested in Chris Sale. 7 strikeouts, looked great in his first start of the season. You're counting on him, not necessarily to strike out 7 and pitch what I think is a gem early in the season, but you want to see if he can at least be a reliable third starter. And so far, so good. Can he do it against this D-backs offense that is clicking? I mean, Lourdes Gurriel has 3. Christian Walker has 3 bombs. These guys are absolutely raking. Ketel Marte at 379 with 2 doubles. There's some dudes on this team. Eugenio Suarez batting 346. There's a lot to be excited about. So those two, the back end of this series, Max Fried and Chris Sale. What do they do? Are they capable of handling this? Are they capable of being what they used to be? If they are, the Braves, in my mind, are the best team in baseball, and it isn't even close. So very excited about this weekend. We'll talk to Justin Siscano of the AJC for a long time, coming up in about 5 minutes. So look forward to that. Justin, of course, was up in Chicago. He was over in Philadelphia. He saw all the cold weather. He's now back in Atlanta, where it is toasty and warm. We'll also talk about your opening day traditions, home opener traditions, so to speak. A reminder, on April 8th, 1974, Hank Aaron smashed baseball's home run record and captured the city's heart. 50 years later, the AJC celebrates that historical moment with special coverage. On April 8th, visit AJC.com to read firsthand accounts of Aaron's teammates, to relive the magic through the announcer's calls, to learn more about the indelible mark Hank left on baseball and Atlanta. Be sure to buy Monday's newspaper to collect commemorative posters and a special reprint of our historic front page from the Atlanta Constitution that captured the heart and soul of Aaron's feet. So definitely go check that out on Monday. Love Hank Aaron. That dude, in that read, you mentioned the indelible mark that he left. There's no doubt he did. What he did for this city is, in my mind, you can't even describe it with words. He was everything. And so make sure you check that out on Monday over on AJC. We talked about opening day traditions, and I've kind of already gone down that path. I tell you, I went down the rabbit hole with some of these Braves, and last show I told you, I just kind of get sucked into the YouTube rabbit hole on opening day, the morning of opening day. I highly suggest the top 25 moments of the 2021 postseason. That will get you excited, might give you chills, might send a little tear down your eye as well. That's how important that postseason was. But I go down that YouTube rabbit hole. I ended up with the Rick Ankiel home run and Troy Gloss in 2010. I mean, that's how far deep into the rabbit hole I went earlier this week. But I asked you guys on Twitter, or X, I should say, on the hotline, DM, yell from the clouds, whatever, to give me your great opening day tradition. And here's one from Brady, who called the hotline.
Hey, this is Brady from Austell, and I've been to every home opener since Truist opened in 2017. Prior to 2020, I lived in the Chicago area and moved down to Atlanta to become an A-list member. Obviously, didn't go very well in 2020, but I've been a happy A-lister since 21. And best opening day memory was definitely Nick Markakis walking off against the Phillies. Never forget that one. So chop on. Let's go, Braves.
Yeah, man, that Nick Markakis home run, that was special to me too. You know, it's one of those things where you want to christen the stadium, you want to start a new season off in the right way, and Nick does it. And I guess it's appropriate that it was Nick because he was the unquestioned leader of those teams, silent leader, a guy who I think a lot of people trust within that clubhouse. And there's a story, you can go back and look at it, with what he did in order to keep Snicker around. He had that kind of weight. He carried that kind of weight in that clubhouse. And yeah, that's a special one for me too. In fact, the Braves gave me a game used ball from that game to put in my step grandfather's, to lay him to rest because he died the next day. And true story, pretty sure it's still in there. Pretty sure it went down with him. But yeah, that was really nice of the Braves to do that. That holds a special place in my heart as well. And, you know, that's in all the Truist Park memories, that to me kind of gets lost. That's one of those things where, you know, there's so many big things that happened, and that was an important moment. I think it kind of set the tone for the new Atlanta Braves, what the Atlanta Braves were going to be moving forward. And of course, it's Markakis, a guy, like I said, big time leader in that clubhouse, big time part of bridging the gap to the new era. And obviously, he was a big part of the early years of that winning, new era of winning as well. On X, Matty Ice Trey, I mean, he's kind of going through all the Atlanta stars there. Matty Ice Trey, I assume that's Matt Ryan. Eesh, about that. Trey Young, good job on him as well. Need some Braves in there on that title. But Matty Ice Trey, he's going to the game. He had a long streak of going from 2001 to 2016. Had to break it for family reasons, but have made it nearly every year since, despite living in four different states, some of which were far away over the years. Being there is a feeling that can't be beat. Chop on. Yeah. You know, I kind of liken opening day, it basically is what was said on Major League, what Bob Uecker said on Major League going into that Cleveland Indians season, which, I mean, we all remember, this guy here is dead. Cross him off then. You know, that's where those Indians were at that time. Sorry, Guardians, where they were at that time. And yeah, I mean, it's the exact opposite of that. Nobody has like that written into that script is there because nobody actually has that feeling. Like, everybody is going to win the division. Everybody's going to go to the World Series. And that's why Major League is a classic, because, again, that is the exact opposite of everybody's feelings. Everybody's pumped. Everybody's excited. Everybody's hopeful. Everybody's in a good mood. Right. There's nothing bad about opening day. And Matt, you know, I had a streak with you, 2001 to 2016. I was more like 91 to 2005, but actually 1990 to 2005. I was at the last year of the dreadful Braves run before 91 took off. But yeah, it's, you know, it's a lot of it means a lot to a lot of people. A lot of people make that trek from far, far away to be there for opening day. And it's just, to me, it's like a party. To me, it's, you know, it's one of those things you can enjoy with strangers, like they're your best friends. And I love that. I love what that means to basically everybody. We'll talk to Justin Toscano next. This is the Braves Report from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, a place where you can get all your Hank Aaron coverage on the anniversary of 7/15. Check it out. Buy a paper Monday afternoon, Monday morning. Whenever you get your papers, go get it. A lot of special coverage of Hank's big moment on Monday.
What's so great about being a Kroger Boost member? Free delivery on the Kroger products you love, and more rewards too, like double fuel points on everything you buy. Experience a new level of membership starting as low as $59 a year with Boost by Kroger Plus. Learn more at Kroger.com today.
In Atlanta, one voice has stood out for over four decades. An AJC original, The Monica Pearson Show.
Let's talk about how you got to ESPN.
Revealing interviews.
You are known as America's doctor, but I want to know who you were before that.
When you have a different name, you have different color skin, it can be tough.
With Atlanta's most famous faces as you've never seen them before.
I'm telling my story. This is the American dream.
The Monica Pearson Show, streaming now on AJC.com.
Hey, we've got a great offer for Braves Report listeners. Listen and listen close, because this is the South's biggest deal. For a limited time, subscribe and you'll get digital access to the AJC for just $1.99. That's right, $1.99 per week for life. As long as you keep your subscriptions, that's our sports and politics coverage, breaking news and in-depth investigation, food and dining and more from AJC.com every day for life. You'll also unlock access to our app, exclusive films and events, and newsletters. Subscribe now by going to AJC.com/start. That's AJC.com/start. A great deal for Greater Atlanta and for new subscribers only. Joined now by the AJC's Justin Toscano, who is back in sunny Atlanta after a week in the cold and rain and snow and every other element you could possibly think of. Justin, welcome back to the South, my man.
Yeah, thanks, Barrett. No, it's good to be back, man. I was looking out my window right here, and I swear this is the first time I've seen the sun in like 6 days. And I know it's only 58 or 60 degrees today, but guys, that's warm. You know, you might as well put a lawn chair out, shorts and a t-shirt weather. I'm just glad to be able to see out of the window. No fog, no raindrops, no snow. Oh my God, this is going to be a beautiful opening weekend in Atlanta.
It is. This is the kind of day in Atlanta when like February, March rolls around and you're in college and you get that one warm day. So you fill up the baby pool and put like a Walgreens lawn chair in there and start drinking a cheap beer from the gas station. That's what it feels like right now in Atlanta. But it is opening weekend. And, you know, I think for fans around Braves country, you know, last week felt like a tease, like an appetizer, right? This is when the feast starts. You get to go to Truist Park. You get to enjoy the battery. You get to do all the things that makes Atlanta great, the Braves great, and Braves country great. I guess first things first, one of the I think biggest questions, we talked about this last week, how the biggest questions for the Braves are like a much different bar than the biggest question for like the Mets or everybody else. But it was the fifth starter, and Ronaldo Lopez looked money in Chicago. I mean, the only thing you can possibly say that went wrong is that he gave up a cheapie and gave up a run. But I mean, you have to excuse him for that. What did you make of Lopez's performance? And what did the guys say afterwards that that maybe stuck out to you?
Yeah, really good. Really good. I mean, sitting 94, 96, the fastball, I was happy to see that he, you know, it was good to see that he held that stuff throughout the game, just like he had in spring training. And this was longer, you know, than he had been in spring training. This was really good. Granted, I don't know that the White Sox, I can't tell you they're going to be, can't promise you they're going to be very good this year, but that lineup's got some talented hitters for sure, especially at the top there. The one thing I like too is when you're talking about relievers going to starting, you think about how are innings 3 to 4 going to look, right? Like what's that third pitch going to be? Questions like that. I thought he passed with flying colors. He used his curveball more, mixed that in, you know, a lot. And I thought the velocity difference, you know, if you go from like 94, 95 to like 77, I thought that was nice. But he was also landing some of them, you know, especially to those lefties. I think that's going to be a good pitch for him to use. Chadwick Tromp was telling me after the game, you know, he caught him and he was telling me like how fun, you know, the repertoire is, you know, and he said that, you know, we knew what we had in camp, but, you know, he just proved his value tonight. And that's really, I think, what it was, right? Is you look at this guy and the fifth starter spot for the Braves is a bigger name than really like most teams in baseball. But you wondered how he was going to handle that transition to starting, you know, to starting again full time. And so far, so good. I thought it was really good. I mean, yeah, like you said, there was a cheapie in there, but man, he wasn't hit hard. I don't really think it wasn't like he was just dancing out of trouble all the time. He was in command. He was in control. He was efficient. And I think this was the best one you could have hoped for as they start to monitor his workload, because really he didn't seem to be working that hard. You know, it didn't seem to take a lot out of him to go six there. And Barrett, the surprise of the week for me was Ronaldo Lopez going farther than any other starter in the first turn right. through the rotation. I didn't have it on the bingo card, and that's nothing against Ronaldo, but that's just how good the Braves rotation is. But it's wild, man. When you think about the Braves pitched Spencer Strider and Max Fried, and then after that, they had Chris Sale, Charlie Morton, and Ronaldo Lopez. That's pretty ridiculous.
It is. There's no doubt. And I think with Lopez, me personally, when you see a guy go out there, a lot of pressure on him, a lot of eyes on him, you know, he's got to make a good impression for his new team. They have the faith in him, so he's got to show it back. And it's tough circumstances, right? The weather's terrible. It is. I mean, it's hard to pitch, it's hard to play. It's hard to go outside in that weather, as I'm sure you're well aware after spending a few days up in Chicago. But overall, you know, what's his leash? You know, obviously that probably helped, but how long are they going to give him if he struggles, knowing that they did invest maybe more than I think a lot of people thought in him?
Yeah, I think that's the big question, right? I think if he becomes a full-time reliever, then given that, you know, Joe Jimenez and Pierce Johnson around the $6-8 million mark for their salaries, like I think 10 million, like I think it's justified over three, like for a great back-end reliever, like I think that's fine. So like the floor on that deal to me is really good. It's not like, to me, like I don't look at the money saying, well, if he's not a starter for his entire time in Atlanta, then it was just a waste. Like I think the floor on that deal is very good considering what they got him for. But when they signed him, the conversation with him and with his representation centered around the fact that he was going to have an opportunity to start. And I think the Braves probably, you know, they might take this a little longer than people expect. Will he be in the bullpen come October? Probably, right? Like that's probably where he's going to help the team best. You could even make a case that out of spring training, you know, it made the team, you know, his he was better as a reliever. But that wasn't the question. It was like how he fits best. And right now, I think the leash is going to be somewhat substantial, right? To a degree. I think they're probably going to look at more workload than anything, right? Like if he struggles, like if he has five bad ones in a row, yeah, like probably going to be moved to the bullpen, right? But I think right now you want him to get you to July, get you to August, see if he can give, you know, 80, 90, 100 innings and then go from there. Or maybe you just get it to his, you know, his career norm, 60, 65, you know, as a reliever, and then you transition to the bullpen. But all that being said, I think they're best with him in the fifth spot because that allows them to keep their depth. That allows them to have Bryce Elder, AJ Smith-Shawver, Hurston Waldrop waiting in the wings.
Yep.
And that's really good depth. Three really good depth guys right there. So I think, you know, if you're the Braves, you want Ronaldo Lopez to give you 2.5, 3 good months of this thing. And I think if he struggles 3 or 4 in a row, you know, maybe it gets dicey. I would use the Yonny Chirinos example from a year ago, but that's not a good fit just because the Braves were shuffling through that fifth spot. Nobody wanted to take it last year. This year, I think if Ronaldo Lopez has 3 or 4 clunkers in a row, you start thinking about it. But until he gives you reason to even wonder about that transition as a starter, I think you want 2 or 3 good months out of him. And I think you're looking at the workload only, 60, 70, 80 innings. Don't push him too much and let him blow it out for you in October.
You know, I joked a little bit. I mean, not joked, but maybe to, I don't know, needle the Dodgers fans for a little bit. I said that Braves lineup, I'll take the Braves lineup over the Dodgers all day, every day. All day, every day might be a little bit of an exaggeration, but I think the Braves lineup, by and large, is a little bit better than the Dodgers on any given day. I'm more convinced now with what Arcia has done and what Kelnick's done. To me, I don't see how anybody can stop this offense because we said this on Wednesday's show, Austin Riley did not get off to a good start. And then bam, you know, he comes alive. Ronald Acuna hadn't hit a home run yet. You know, it's one of those things where this feels like somebody can carry them at all times. Whereas, you know, at last year, they needed Ozuna to get hot and he got scorching hot and look where it took him. I don't think you're going to have those lulls with this team because I think the switch to Kelnick or for Kelnick in terms of his swing clearly has helped. The addition of Duvall, you know, obviously helps Kelnick because he lit a fire under him, but obviously Duvall can do, you know, his damage as well. And then Arcia playing like an all-star again. Where are the breaks? Do you think there can be any breaks in this lineup? If you were a pitcher, where would you go to get an out looking at 1 through 9?
Yeah, I think it's hard because you can't even segment it and say, like, you would say, okay, well, if the top 2 or 3 eat, like, we're fine. Like, just get the rest. But those top 2 or 3, I mean, those are 3 of the best 15 players in baseball. I mean,
well, don't tell MLB.com that because, you know, Ozzie Albies is in the top 10 second base.
Yeah. So I don't think there's, I mean, I think if I'm a pitcher, I'm looking at, okay, if I can get those 3, 4 guys top out, or if I can keep them, like if I can keep them in the yard, right? Like if I can keep them to a hit or a walk here or there, I want to target, I want to bet on Marcelo Ozuna striking out a lot. And I want to bet on Michael Harris not having a great game. And I want to bet on, but even then you're at what, 6? And then their catchers can both hit. Their starting catchers can both hit. I think you really, opposing teams, you're really banking on Orlando Arcia and Jared Kelnick going cold. And then you're kind of banking on, like, you're banking on Michael Harris not having a career year, not taking that step that a lot of us think he will. But yeah, I think this Braves offense has more margin for error than anyone I can remember. And I think the closest would be probably those Houston teams, some of them, especially when Yordan came up with Kyle Tucker. And like, those are incredible lineups. I thought the Dodgers in 21 were pretty Teflon, pretty flawless. The Braves poked the holes in the NLCS, but this is where that lineup is among, you know, the best lineups, I would say, of the last decade. And it might be the best. And I think there's so much margin for error. Like you said, I mean, in Philly, that last day, like nobody was doing anything and they still won the game. It felt like they were so quiet offensively and they still almost won that game, that series finale. And it's almost like that's the way it is, especially when you got, I mean, honestly, like 7 guys can change a ball game with a swing in that lineup. And like the other 2, RC and Kelnick just aren't proven on a regular basis. And I would argue that RC is becoming proven on a regular basis. Like, yeah. He keeps doing it. Like, at what point is this guy not underrated? At what point is he just that heralded prospect he used to be? And maybe, you know, and now with regular playing time, he's back where he was kind of in those early Brewer days. I think if you're an opposing staff, right? Like if we want to look at this even far bigger picture into October, who knows injuries, you know, you hope they stay healthy, everything. But with this full lineup, I think you kind of just hope your ace can kind of grind him out for like 5-6 innings and maybe give up one or two runs. And like, it's kind of going to be need to be that Phillies Braves game one, right? Or even like game two when Zach Wheeler pitched and he pitched phenomenally. And, you know, it's like Max Fried wasn't great. And you hope he grind down the Braves starter and they got to get into that bullpen. But even then, man, you had Aaron Bummer pitching the ninth inning of a 9-2 ball game on opening day. Like, there are no scrubs on this team. Right. Like, I just don't, it feels like a little like it did last year where so much has to go wrong for the Braves to lose a game.
You know, I like to call the first couple of weeks of every baseball season the college football weeks because everybody panics about everything, right? You know, in college football, it's like, oh, we're struggling offensively through two games, you know, fire everybody. And that's what Aaron Bummer's getting right now. How concerned are you? Should you be concerned about that?
No, I don't think so. I mean, he took accountability for it. Look, like cold, windy day, right? Comes in at the end, you know, at the end there Sunday. He had Trey Turner 0-2 and Kyle Schwarber at two strikes. He just couldn't put guys away. I've got confidence he will. You know, he's not going to give up hard contact. I don't really think he did give up much hard contact, right? Like those were like singles. I mean, you say 3-4 straight singles, you kind of tip your cap, right? Like, and looking at him last year, his expected ERA was like 3 runs lower than his actual ERA, which tells me that the White Sox defense did not do him any favors. So I'm betting on Austin Riley, Orlando Arcia, Matt Olson, Ozzie Albies, doing Aaron Bummer, you know, deserving the Christmas cards from Aaron Bummer this year. Like I'm betting on them helping him out. He's going to get ground balls. He wants to be able to strike guys out when he can. I think that's what we need to see is like that slider and like that stuff that to put guys away, you know, you want to see that going forward. But I think, like, look, he got guys to two strikes. Wasn't like this guy was out here getting down 3-1 to guys, walking the park, whatever. He let guys put it in play. Sometimes it's going to get dumped into right field. Wasn't like he was getting hammered. I'm not concerned. I just think it's, like you said, people are going to panic about everything, especially when you watch a team with no glaring holes. I mean, especially because the one that people thought was going to could be there, he's started the season in left field and he's been hot to start the season and he's actually made a lot happen at the bottom of the order. I think it's one of those things where Aaron Bummer is the one thing that's, and he's not going bad. Let's put it that way. He's the one thing that's not going perfectly right now. And I think it just puts the spotlight on him. I don't think there's anything there. Like, I think that bullpen is insane. I mean, if you look at the other units that these guys are going to be playing throughout the summer, like that bullpen is ridiculous. Like you've got, I mean, the ability to bring in Joe Jimenez in the sixth inning. Like, are you kidding me? Like this was an eighth inning guy.
Not even fair.
He was lined up to be the closer last year for Detroit had he not been traded. And it's like, you've got him and Pierce Johnson just looks unhittable right now.
And Matzik looks like Matzik, which is, I mean, thinking about what he's gone through and Minter had a little hiccup, but we know what we're going to get from Minter at this point.
Yeah. At this point, you don't worry about Minter. Matzik looks like Matzik, as you mentioned. I mean, the way I put it though, is like, and you know, this, like you've watched baseball for a long time. The bullpen is about not stacking as much talent so you can have as much talent. It's about stacking as much talent so you have as many fail safes in as many situations as you can. And I think that's what Alex Anthopoulos has really done for Brian Snitker is he said, hey, in these situations, you're going to have at least 2 or 3 options. You're going to have, you don't have to, the Braves this year don't have to script it perfectly. They can go through games, you know, obviously they'll have what they want to do going into a day based on who's, you know, who's up, who's down, whatever. But you look at this bullpen and I don't think the Braves have to script it perfectly, especially because a couple of those lefties, you look at Matzik and Lee and Minter, they, to me, like, those guys are not matchup lefties. You can use them like that, but I would trust Tyler Matzik or Dylan Lee or, you know, Dylan Lee, especially with that slider, Tyler Matzik with the stuff, AJ Minter with his stuff. AJ Minter could close for other teams. I would expect those three to be able to handle a clean inning and just come in, you know, regardless of the matchup. I think I think Aaron Bummer stands out right now, Barrett, but I just think that's because so much is
everybody's got to be mad about something.
Right, right. It's, and you know what's funny is you never want to disenfranchise the good fans of Braves country who are just rabid. I get it. Like when you root for a team or something like that, like, dude, I'm that way with like Arizona State sports or whatever. Like now that I'm an alum and I see it with clear eyes, I'm like, I want things to go well. But here's the thing, man. Like I was just in Chicago where those fans literally have nothing to cheer about. Like they are waiting. I don't mean to be so bleak or like make fun of them. Like they are waiting for the next possible spark of light at the end of the tunnel, right? And like for them, that's Garrett Crochet, who might still be traded eventually.
He looks good. He looks fine.
Yeah. And like he was awesome, but he might still be traded. Like they're waiting for this rebuild to play out. Like Braves fans have it so good right now. Like this is the optimal time to be a Braves fan because it's like they're good right now. The clubhouse is good. So there's no external thing like that or internal thing like that that's going to cause things to combust. And oh, by the way, like this is going to be the team for the next 6-7 years.
I will say, getting off topic for a second, Arizona State's one of those football teams that I always just want to shake and be like, why aren't you better? Why can't you be better at football? Because like Texas A&M, UCLA, same thing.
I know. Were you one of the, did you ever use the sleeping giant reference in terms to Arizona State? Because I think I've heard that for like 6 years now.
I have used that very liberally.
It doesn't make any sense. And people aren't listening for that, but it's almost like, yeah, you see like Phoenix, beautiful place to live, not super high cost of living yet, in all the parts. I don't get it. But what we're trying to say here on this show is that Arizona State should definitely become the Braves. Like if they were that good, I'd be insufferable every Saturday.
That is a good point. All right, D-backs coming in, obviously had a successful season last season, making it to the World Series. They've been solid this season. You know, you look at Lourdes Gurriel, Christian Walker, they're both just absolutely bombing. What should fans expect after looking over what this D-backs team is?
It's going to be a tough series. And Braves fans remember when the D-backs came in last year and handled them, I think, over 2 out of 3. The thing that impresses me most about the D-backs is in this day and age of slug, they found a way to do enough damage while not striking out a ton. A lot of those guys, like from Corbin Carroll to Perdomo, who I think is injured right now, Gurriel, like a lot of those guys in that lineup, like they're good hitters and they don't strike out a ton. They didn't last year. And that's what stood out to me like in the postseason run. I think that postseason run was a perfect encapsulation of what these D-backs are, right? Like, are they going to go there again this year? I don't know. I can't say that for sure. But like, they just grinded down the Phillies pitching staff. Like at bat after at bat after at bat after at bat, they were comfortable being like, all right, like we'll single hair, we'll take a walk, we'll steal a base, and then we'll be in scoring position. Like they're comfortable doing it station to station like that. They can score in different ways. They don't have the pop the Braves do or the Dodgers do or the star power of those teams. They don't have the pop of, I'm trying to think off the wall, 2019 Minnesota Twins, like that team just banged. Like they were bombers. They're not the Bronx Bombers the last few years. But man, like they just feel lethal because it just feels like they don't let you off the hook. And it feels like with the D-backs, when they're going well, there are no bad at-bats. And that's really tough in this day and age when, with the swing revolution, this, that, and the other thing, like strikeouts are an all-time pace. But here's the thing is I think they've got the pitching now to match, right? Like they've got Gallen, they've got Merrill Kelly. And I think the Braves, because the D-backs have an off day today, I think the Braves missed Gallen. I didn't see the projected rotation, but they've got good pitching. They've beefed up, the bullpen a little bit. I love them getting Suarez from Seattle. I love that. I love what Christian Walker's done. I love what Gabby Moreno has done in his first year plus behind the plate. Man, the D-backs did it the right way, man. And what I mean by that is like they never really meant to tank. They kind of straddled that line. In 2021, it got bad. And it probably took them a little longer than they hoped because they wanted to keep a semi-competitive team through the rebuild. But now that you're seeing it, you've got all these young guys who just play so dang hard. They're incredible defensively and they don't give away at bats. I'm going to be very, very interested to see the stuff of Spencer Strider and Max Fried, and can Max Fried rebound? The stuff of Strider, Fried, and Sale against guys who have proven themselves to be hitters that aren't going to take too much. They're going to kind of take what you give them.
Yeah, we are missing Gallen. Tommy Henry versus Strider, Brandon Fatt on Saturday, and Ryan Nelson on Sunday. Not exactly the toughest competition, although Brandon Fatt had, you know, some success last season for the D-backs. All right, with knowing that, knowing what the probable pitchers will be, to me, I'd be surprised if it wasn't a sweep. And I'm an optimist, but the Braves offense against these three, especially considering who the Braves have on the bump, to me, I don't like to say expect sweeps. I say win series. I'm like Bobby Cox usually, you know, win series, whatever. But to me, this just screams home opener success.
Yeah, yeah. Who's that Friday guy again?
Somebody we don't know. Tommy Henry.
Tommy Henry, yeah. See, like, and Eduardo Rodriguez, their big offseason signing, is hurt. And so they don't have him. So yeah, that's pretty insane that the Braves caught the D-backs right after they pitched Gallen and Kelly, I think it was. I would say this, like, I would think the Braves would be able to push enough offense to sweep this series. I think they definitely take the series. Tommy Henry and Ryan Nelson are guys that, like, I can see Brandon Fott having a good game against the Braves. Like, he's got good stuff, but he's still a young guy. Like, that's the one thing with the D-backs, is as good as I think they are, as tough as I think they are, against a team like the Braves, like, they might just be completely overmatched in terms of the pitching situation, the starting pitching situation as it stands right now. Yeah, you want to just take two or three, but I honestly think, like, this home opener weekend, tough crowds for the visitors, loud environment, you know, a lot of energy. It kind of does scream sweep. But then again, last year, didn't the Braves lose like 3 or 4 to the Padres, who didn't even make the playoffs or something? You know, who knows? I don't. So I've stopped trying to predict baseball, but I really like where the Braves are at, especially because, you know, they got a little extra off day and, you know, getting a little rhythm here. Hopefully they play some consecutive games.
One last thing, we have all the pomp and circumstance of the home opener. You know, it's delayed a week, but we still get the same, you know, sort of introductions and pyro and all that other stuff. Joc Pederson, he's going to be back. What kind of reception is he going to get?
Yeah, you know, I almost forgot about that. And all our talking about the D-backs, that probably gave them a spark, a pearly spark, if you will.
See what you did there.
I think he gets, you know what, like, that guy's going to be kind of revered in Braves country forever, really. Mm-hmm. Like, I've always been of the mindset in pro sports that, like, flags fly forever, right? Like, I was talking about this with somebody last week. Like, it doesn't matter how good that Jacob deGrom deal or how bad it is for the Rangers. Like, they got their World Series. Like,
yeah.
Whatever. Who cares? Doesn't matter if he didn't pitch. Like, I'm a big, like, even the Nationals, man, as bleak as they are, flags fly forever. They're MLB franchises that haven't won World Series, you know, or haven't won in a long time. I think Joc Pederson deserves, you know, his flowers from Atlanta for a long, long time because of the way he just created a spark, the way he mixed in with that group. And I wasn't covering the team at that point, but you see from afar, like, something clicked, like, when they got those guys. And that was like Alex being more of a scientist than a wizard and putting some things together and being a chemist, and just these guys worked. And man, he was Joc should get a very nice reception. Really forever. I know he did the year after, you know, that World Series run when he wasn't, you know, he didn't come back. Man, that guy, I think it's always going to be fond memories with him. And shoot, you think about that World Series run 2 years later, I think it's fair to say there's even more excitement around the Braves than there's ever been. So this home opener weekend is going to be a lot of fun, man. And followed up by that, you know, 50th anniversary of Hank Aaron's historic 715th home run.
And we will have full coverage of that on AJC.com. So keep an eye on that as well. Like, I tell you, my daughter's 8. She was 5 when the Braves won the World Series, and she still wears pearls to games. Like, she still will. I think she'll do that forever. So that's how much that dude means. Justin, appreciate you hopping on. I will see you this weekend at Truist Park. It'll be a fun weekend, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Thanks for having me, Barrett. I'll see you in a couple.
That'll do it for this edition of the Braves Report presented by the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. I really, really appreciate you guys listening over the last couple of weeks as I've taken over as lead host of this show. I love the reception that I've got. If you don't like it, hey, let me know. Let me know what we can improve on. I'm always for constructive criticism here on the Braves Report, but appreciate you guys listening. It is opening weekend. against the D-backs. Let's have some fun, Braves country. Talk to you Monday.
When you're looking for leading cardiac treatment, look to Northside Hospital Heart Institute. We lead with 5 emergency cardiac care centers, so we're here when you need us most. We lead with more than 55 locations in Georgia. That means we're always in the heart of your neighborhood. We lead with clarity, because clear direction is better when it comes to understanding every step of your treatment. Northside Hospital Heart Institute. We lead with heart.
The AJC's trusted veteran political voices, Greg Bluestein, Patricia Murphy, Tia Mitchell, and Bill Nigut, are the essential source for Georgia politics. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution's Politically Georgia. Sign up for the newsletter, download the podcast, subscribe to the AJC.